Hello and welcome to the Upon Further Review podcast brought to you by Field Street Baptist Church. On this podcast, your host Cody Kitchen sits across the table from Dr. John Hall as he reviews his Sunday sermon from the week before.
It's April 2nd, not April 1st.
Hey.
April Fool's is gone.
The day after April.
That's right. It is. It is everyone's favorite day. That is podcast day.
Yeah.
Podcast Tuesday. We got to come up with a good jingle there, but
we do.
Welcome to Upon Further Review. I'm your host, Cody Kitchen, and joined with me, as always, is the one, the only, Dr. John Hall.
Dr. John Hall. That is D-Min.
Dr. Yeah.
John Hall.
Not PhD.
That's right. I was not worthy of that elite degree.
Whatever. You probably could out-debate any of those PhD guys.
No, not even close.
Well, we are going to be talking about John's sermon from Sunday, which was Resurrection Sunday, a great Sunday in which the title of the message, Do You Believe This?, coming from John chapter 11, verse 17 through 27. A great message, one that, as we say every Sunday, that you should go back and listen to.
Right.
For sure, if you have not listened to it. But a great message, and a great message in which preached the gospel. And you started off by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 through 20, and then talking about how obviously the most important event in human history was the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how that is why and why Sunday was so important. And it is so important that we celebrate it, because without the resurrection, as you've said plenty of times before, what we're doing here is pointless. Mm. So the resurrection is, some words that you used was the linchpin, the cornerstone, the foundation, the hinge point of the Christian faith. And then you went on and talking about how Sunday is a special day, and you asked the question of why are you here? Why are you here today? And you went on in your introduction to talk about a lot of these reasons why people say that they are there. Whether they're forced or whether they want to be there. And the whole point of that is you also transitioned into that there's also a variety of circumstances in people's life currently. And we all have different things going on. And your point is, whatever the reason why you were here, now what? What are we supposed to do? You're here, and you're kind of the rest of the message was pointing to that there's such good news. Mm. And you then went in to read the text of John chapter 11, verse 17 through 27, and you kind of went on to your points there. But before we get into that, I wanted to ask you a question of why do you go to church?
Well, I go to church because I'm paid to go to church. Silly. I explained that on Sunday. No, I'm kidding. Everybody relax. Turn the podcast back on. I go to church because I love the church. I can't imagine not going to church on the Lord's Day. The church has made such an impact in my life from the time I was a child, a teenager, my college years, and everything in between. An enormous impact the church has had in my life. Not to mention Hebrews 10:25. Teaches us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing. That's what it actually says, the text. So I think, you know, we're commanded and encouraged in Scripture to make the Sunday gathering of the Lord's Day people a priority. Huh. I love the church. I can't imagine not wanting to be in church. Now, I recognize there are times people are going to miss a Sunday here and there for a variety of reasons.
Sure.
But by and large, just I look forward to the Lord's Day. I love coming to church. I love being with God's people. I love worshiping with God's people, worshiping God, praying, giving, serving, fellowshipping together. The church just offers us something that nothing else does. Hmm. Not only does it offer us something, but it gives us the opportunity to contribute to something that's so much greater than ourselves as individuals. The church is the greatest force on earth. Hmm. For good and for godliness. I love the church. And it wouldn't matter what I was doing with my life vocationally, I would still bring my family to church. We love the church. My wife loves the church. My kids attend church as young adults. I just can't imagine not being active in a church. And Sunday was exhibit A of why I love the church, the spirit in the church, the joy in the church, the celebrating that Jesus lives and that we're no longer condemned in our sins because God raised his son to life from the dead. It's incredible. No other entity has a story like we have and such compelling reasons to share that story so that others may know Christ as we do. I love the church. I don't understand people who don't or who trash the church or want to change the church so that it appears to be something that it isn't thoroughly scriptural. So, yeah, I get bent out of shape for a variety of reasons when people talk about the church in a certain way or think the church should do something that shouldn't be doing, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's probably for another podcast. But, yeah, I love the church, and I don't apologize for it. Fortunately for me, I'm in a church where there's a lot of people who love the church.
Yeah.
I don't have to do much convincing.
That helps.
Hey, y'all need to love this church or the church. I'm grateful for that for sure. I love being a part of this church.
Absolutely.
I love being a part of Field Street.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Concur for sure. You even talked about this morning in Rut about you made the comment of that we're wired for fellowship, mm-hmm. and which is true, that we are wired. God wired us that way, and I think he wired us that way, obviously, one, to be in a relationship with him, at the same time to be, as he's commanded us, to be in a relationship with others, and he gives us the church to do that. And what a better day to come together on a Sunday specifically, in which we, you know, is the Lord's Day, that we get to come together to fellowship, but more than anything, praise and give him glory. And as you've already said, Sunday was that for sure.
Yeah, it was great.
And the spirit was fantastic.
And to be clear, you know, the church isn't the building.
Right.
The church is the people. But I do love seeing the church building full.
Absolutely.
It does something for me. I love that we begin the 11 o'clock service with baptism. That's what we're about.
Yeah.
I think the Lord uses his church to bring glory to his name, to exalt his son, to unleash his spirit, to work in people. And there's just nothing like the church on earth. So I'm delighted I've been called to devote my life to the work of the church. What a privilege.
Yep.
Yep.
That's great. And to kind of transition into your ideas is you read the scripture verse from John chapter 11, verse 17 through 27, which is kind of the beginning of before Lazarus was raised, mm-hmm. where Mary and Jesus meets Martha. You know, their brother just died, and you kind of give us the context of this scripture passage, and you really went into detail in the Jewish piety part, which was really interesting, and I thought that really laid the context of kind of the why they were doing the specific days of weeping and the days of lamentation. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. I don't know if I've ever really dove in it to that degree. Mm-hmm. So,
well, only a D-Men guy is going to come up with that stuff.
Exactly. That's why That's why we got you, man. That's funny.
Yeah, you can tell my PhD friends.
And you talked about how in verses 20 and 21, we see that Martha's explaining to the Lord that, you know, if you've been here, he wouldn't have died.
Right.
And we see Jesus' reply to that as well, talking about your brother will rise again. And you made the comment that one of the core doctrines, quote, one of the core doctrines of the Christian faith is the bodily resurrection of Jesus and the impending future bodily resurrection of the believing dead. And then you guided us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, which I love that you pointed us there, which is one of the theological truths in which we see that, of the bodily resurrection. And my question is, what makes the bodily resurrection so important? I mean, I'm teeing this up for you right here.
Good grief. Well, as it relates to Christ, his physical bodily resurrection, it's the absolute ballgame. Everything about the Christian faith, if Christ has not been physically, bodily raised from the dead, it just it collapses like a house of cards. No one, and I mean no one, says it better than the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 about what is genuinely at stake if Christ has not been raised from the dead. Moreover, because Christ has been raised from the dead, then we have the hope and assurance that we too will experience a resurrection to a glorified body. And Christ is merely the first fruits of the resurrection according to the Scripture. So bodily resurrection is wonderful, because Paul will later talk in 2 Corinthians about how these earthly tents that we dwell in, which is his metaphor for our physical bodies, you know, they're groaning and they're wearing out and aging, and they get diseased and die. But we have a resurrection body to look forward to. So, man, what an encouragement that is to the believer, that this life here on earth is not all that there is. This body that's in a perpetual state of decay until death, physical death, one day we're going to receive our resurrected bodies. And as evidence of that, and to assure us of that promise that will be fulfilled by God, we have Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's colossally important. If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, this podcast is a pointless exercise.
That's for sure.
No one would listen to it. I wouldn't want anybody to listen to it.
Right.
But because Christ lives, everything we say about God, and everything we preach, our faith, all of it has meaning and value and substance. It's true. It can be depended upon. What God tells us is utterly reliable. So, yeah, obviously there's a lot at stake with the bodily resurrection of the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what it points to for our future.
It's so good, and it's obviously a simple question, and I don't want to say simple answer, but in a way it is, that without the resurrection, nothing could have happened. That how important, and you made this such an emphasis on Sunday, is how important the resurrection was, and it was a perfect transition into, then you went into the fifth I Am statement that we see in John, where in verse 25, where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And I love that's what you titled the message, is do you believe this? And asking that question, that all who believe in Jesus, even though we all experience death, we live eternally. It's such a core statement in what you made on Sunday, and such a simple gospel message that was heard, I know, by many people on Sunday, and hopefully around the world in a way with our online status. But what another thing I really appreciated, that, and you do it often when you do share the gospels, you know, Jesus never promised that we would be prevented from not only physical death, but even suffering here on this earth, physical and even spiritual, of some sort, pain and that kind of thing. And so one of the things that I loved, you said, let me tell you one thing, however, for those who have put their belief in Jesus, physical death is not the end. And you talked about how Jesus came for abundant life, and then you kind of ended the message and went into your conclusion and a call for response by asking the question again, is do you believe this? Just a powerful way to end the message. And so my kind of final question for this section is, what would your encouragement be to those who are saved to share this great message with others?
Right. I love that question. And what I have advocated throughout my ministry, right or wrong, others could agree or disagree, is I've resisted saying you have to master a methodology. What I've advocated is it is a lifestyle. As you are going, as you are living life, you seek the opportunities to share Christ with people. And sometimes you use words, and sometimes it's by your actions. But we are always, 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 always on mission with and for Christ. And sometimes I'd be the first to say, yeah, a method is helpful. But more importantly, I believe, is that we view our lives as, you know, God's royal ambassadors. We are ministers of reconciliation in the vineyard where he has put each of us. And we are his agents on the ground, if you will, to share our faith, to make Christ known, as we often say, by what we say, proclamation, and what we do, by how we live our lives. So I'm really one of those that advocates for a lifestyle evangelism. Now, that's not to discount intentional evangelism, but I think if you're doing lifestyle evangelism, you're going to have those moments where it's quite intentional. And we certainly encourage the church to do that a couple of weeks ago with the distribution of New Testaments to those, and have a, you know, as so popularly said, and I like it, you know, a gospel conversation. So that's my encouragement, is just, man, as you, and it, you kind of have to train that muscle, so to speak, to have a sensitivity to the Lord's Spirit when he may lead you into an opportunity. So the young lady that cut my hair a couple of weeks ago, you know, I gave her my New Testament, and sweet young lady, going through some stuff, you know, as a lot of people are, had the opportunity to visit with her about, you know, some issues going on in her life, and then gave her the New Testament, invited her to the services on Sunday. And just my comment to her was, it's not rocket science. I just said, hey, I want to encourage you to read the New Testament. And it's a part of the Bible. There's the Old Testament, New Testament. And I said, yeah, that reading that Bible, man, it changed my life. It pointed me to the person that has become the most important person in my life, Jesus Christ, you know, something like that. I don't remember exactly what I said, but along those lines. Anyway, the whole point is to just move the conversations of life in the direction of the eternal.
That's good.
So that would be my encouragement. So people who are like, oh, man, I don't know if I can learn the, you know, evangelism explosion or whatever, you don't really have to. I mean, you just have a love for people and a heart for the Lord, and kind of look around and see the opportunities. He'll show you if you'll. Some of us are just, you know, we're moving at Mach 3.
Right.
Going about our lives. We're so busy, we miss opportunity after opportunity. But sometimes we slow down long enough to go, you know what? I'm going to talk to that person.
Yeah. The reality is, you know, Jesus says it, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And
correct.
It's that reality that I've had to slow down even and remember that is, you look around, you're going to contact someone that does not know Jesus today. Yes. And that's just the truth of it.
Yes.
And Jesus knew that truth when he was here on earth. And it's going to be the truth for, you know, the rest of time that we're here on earth.
Yes.
And it's such a great story. And I have one similar, the guy who cuts my hair. I see him pretty often, and we talk life a lot. And I have not moved the conversation until recently into a gospel conversation purposefully, because feeling of with him, he's kind of shared some of his past. And so we're very slowly going in that direction. And I got to this last week, and I think my point in even sharing all that was to say, is there is wisdom in how you've said of creating a relationship with someone that there's trust there, that they trust you. And when you do share that, the Spirit works through that. The Spirit works through it at any time you share, for sure. But there definitely is something to be said about the relationship that's made when you do share the gospel. And it is encouraging, too, to know. I've already heard personally of quite a few stories of people sharing these New Testament copies and sharing the gospel and how God's working in other people's life. And so,
yeah, that's true. In fact, in Matt's Monday, a lady shared with me about the person that she shared a New Testament with actually came to the service Sunday.
Praise God.
And it was great hearing that and seeing her excitement. And she lives it, by all means. She lives the life. She is faithful, and she's just a delight. Her and her husband both very active in our church, and they never miss Matt's. But she was just with a, you know, like a bird in a tree talking about the lady that came. And I think they took them to lunch even. And I just, like I said in staff meeting this morning, the Lord is working in our church in ways we see and in ways we do not see. And you just have to love it.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm just so grateful that we haven't, you know, that we haven't pursued all the trends and fads, and that we've just been faithful. Huh. And God chooses when he's going to visibly bless it with fruit, and when we have seasons that are dry.
Right.
But, it, you know, this is, from my point of view, as limited as it is, seems to be one of those seasons where the Lord's pouring out his favor on our church. I'm so thankful, and it's a joy to see and hear the stories, and people, you know, praise God.
Yeah,
it's a joy. I wish I could say it's because of our great leadership, but I really think it has everything to do with just God's good favor.
Absolutely, it is.
In this season of our church's existence, and, you know, praise him.
Yeah, God's good. And, you know, the point of that question, too, is to acknowledge the fact to our listeners, we all know this truth, is that it is that simple. And I think oftentimes, and I complicate it, I think we oftentimes complicate the gospel and sharing the gospel, I should say, and trying to, it's got to be this way, it's got to be done this way. And it's as simple as creating a relationship with someone and sharing the truth that he's risen, that he's changed our life because of that. And because of that our life is changed, that he too can change the life of those.
Yes.
All that he has appointed. And so it's just a good reminder for us all that we constantly are to live the gospel. Mm. And we don't know whom the Spirit is going to change through us, that we get to be a part of that, which is fantastic. And even humbling to know that we get to be a part of that. But just the encouragement to continue to have those eyes, if you've already talked about, the eyes open to allow the Spirit to speak to us of who and whom are we supposed to share it with, and mm-hmm. allow him to do the work.
Yes.
So
agreed.
Well, as we close this podcast, what are some final thoughts? And I didn't ask the question in the beginning either, so I'm sorry. So maybe clump it together, you know, what are some thoughts that came to mind as you prepare the sermon, as well as some final thoughts?
Well, in preparing for Resurrection Sunday, it's just an enormous pressure-filled Sunday. The stress I feel, I'm being real transparent about it, but for me, it feels like being the starting quarterback of a Super Bowl team that you know you're going to win, but you still got to prepare, and prepare well and carefully, because you know you're going to have a larger crowd than normal and a unique opportunity to present this incredible truth, the resurrection of Christ. So, you know, it's part of me, I just love it and relish it, but I'm also relieved when it's over. And we move on, you know, in the sense of, you know, now next Sunday's coming. That's the thing about Sunday, is it comes every week.
Yeah.
And it's the preacher's reality and dilemma is like, oh, yeah, you work so hard to be ready for Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, that, oh, man, my head hit the pillow Sunday night. I'm like, oh, man, Sunday's coming.
It's good.
So my last words would be, hey, don't miss this Sunday as we get back into 2 Corinthians with an extraordinarily challenging text to understand.
And the Lord's Supper.
Yeah, and the Lord's Supper and being together. And
baptism.
A residual from the Lord's Day on Resurrection Weekend. So we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be a great Sunday.
See.
Look forward to it. Well, we are transitioning now into your favorite segment, That Stupid Segment. And this one, in my opinion, is stupid.
Yes, it just smacks of tone deaf.
Yes. So John, tell us what's stupid today.
Well, I think what we discussed was how disappointed we were that the Biden administration chose to continue what has been, according to the Biden administration and White House press secretary, that March 31st has historically been, for a number of years now, when transgender visibility recognition day, along those lines. Well, this year it corresponded with Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And I just think it was stupid that they moved forward on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think Easter Sunday deserves to be a standalone Sunday with not one thing ever competing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I for one, I pray for our president, because the Bible teaches that we are to pray for those who are in authority over us so that we may live peaceful lives and be about the business of the kingdom. And sometimes it's hard for me to want to pray for our nation's leaders when I see them doing things like that and then spin it and not own it and not say, I'm sorry, poor taste on our part. And what purpose does it serve to do that, to split the emphasis? I just think it was stupid.
Yeah, definitely was.
And, you know, there was an article in the New York Post yesterday that talked, the question raised by the writer of the article was the effort to take a, you know, to troll Christians, or was it just we have a president who's clueless? And you kind of have to decide what you think is the case. I just think it's foolish to do that, and it's offensive.
It is offensive.
And it's not like the resurrection of Jesus Christ is just something we celebrate as Americans. It's a worldwide emphasis. It's worldwide in its importance and significance and the attention we pay to that day because of what it means to us as Christians. There's not a more sacred holiday day than the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And just shame on how all that happened. Hmm. And for what? What good did it do?
Right. It's definitely unfortunate and stupid.
And then the statement he made, and then the president came out and said, well, I didn't do that. I'm like, yeah, you did. You know, he was really called out by some of the news agencies and media, just like when he denied he didn't do that. I'm like, yeah, you did. So,
yeah.
What a shame. I mean, as you've said earlier before we went on the broadcast, that we're just dealing with a nation that's needs Christ, needs an awakening, and needs salvation, including at the highest levels of our nation's leadership. Yeah. And purportedly, the president claims to be a devout Catholic. So how does that, how does that gel with Catholicism?
Yeah, I could say a lot on that, but I don't think we have enough time for that.
Yeah, I know, I'm probably rubbing people the wrong way here, and it's not really my intent, but I do think that was plain foolishness.
It is foolishness. And the reality, too, is I don't care what side of the political spectrum you are. The reality is we need to be praying for our nation, praying for our president, especially, and those around him.
I do. I pray for him, his family. Absolutely. I want them to be saved, and I want them to lead skillfully and righteously. But there was nothing righteous about that move.
No, there was not. It was stupid.
Certainly
on a
foolish
on
sure.
A lighter note, I can't wait for next week's That Stupid segment, because that's going to be the Tuesday after the eclipse. And so I know that there's going to be some dumb stupid things that we're going to even get to see for ourselves. Oh, yeah. Right here in Cleveland.
I know, even the fact that we had to have a discussion this morning in staff meeting about when we're going to let people go home so they can actually get home.
I can't wait.
Anyway, you better stock up on toilet paper.
That's what they say.
I know.
It's going to be another snowvid.
Yeah, another mad dash to HEB, making sure I have enough Fritos to get me through the next 2 weeks.
Oh, man. Oh, it's good. Well, guys, as always, we're so thankful that you listen to us each and every week. And remember, make Christ known by what you say and how you live. See y'all next week.
Thank you all for listening, and be sure to subscribe to Upon Further Review so you never miss an episode. If you have any questions, please be sure to reach out to us at info@fieldstreet.com. Thanks for tuning in.